Good evening.
Good evening.
Guys, I'm not so feeling really very well, so please spare me. A couple weeks ago, so we look at the story of Joseph, right? A story which filled with twists and turns and sufferings and redemption. And through it all, we were reminded one thing, that the Lord is with us and for us, even in our sufferings. So it's so comforting to know that nothing, no situation, no tension, no difficulties, not sickness or disappointment that can separate us from the love of the Lord. You get that? A couple weeks ago. But let's get real for a moment. When we hear a dramatic story like Joseph's, where God takes him from the prisons to the palace and from suffering into salvation, it's easy to think, wow, that is amazing. But that's Joseph, right? After all, Joseph is a big name in the Bible. He's the main character. Of course, God had a plan for him. But then we look at our lives, our own little lives, you know. We're not prince. We're not princesses as well. So we're not from the famous big families. We're just us. Ordinary people living ordinary lives, facing very real struggles that don't always feel like we're heading towards some kind of like miraculous ending of our lives. So can God's providence, his power to protect and provide, will show up in lives like ours? We've all been there, right? That waiting games, waiting for something. You know, when you're sitting around wondering something's gonna happen. Whether it's like a delayed flight or a life-changing decisions, waiting can be a real drag. You know, waiting for answers, waiting for healings, waiting for breakthrough. Maybe for you, some of you, maybe it's a health issues. Yeah, you have been praying for healing, asking advice from doctors after doctors, yet here you are still waiting with no clear answers, right? Or maybe it's a relationship. It's about relationships. Waiting for reconciliations with your spouse or with a friend or for your children to come back to faith. Or perhaps it's a dream, like a career opportunity, like a calling or the desire to start a family. And instead of making it progress, all you see are closed doors and obstacles. So what do you do when you're in a situation like this, in the waiting, especially when your prayer feels like they're hitting a wall or ceiling? So what do you do? In moments like this, questions always coming up. Like, does God see my tears? Does he care? Is he listening? And perhaps the hardest questions of all is, how do I keep trusting God when I don't understand what he is doing? So if you are feeling that tension today, you are not alone, because waiting is part of human experience. And our tears are part of our story. But here's the good news. Those tears we cry in the waiting are not waste. In God's hands, they are the seed for his greater purpose. And that's what brings us the story of Hannah. So Hannah's story might not seem to be as grand as Joseph. So she was not a queen or not a judge or not even an ancestor of Jesus. She was just an ordinary woman, a wife living with extraordinary pain. And Hannah's life was defined by waiting. Year after year, she longed for a child, but it just wasn't happening. In her culture, barrenness was not just a private pain. It was a public shame. But that's not all. Hannah's pain was magnified by Peninnah, her husband's other wife who had children. So instead of showing compassion, Peninnah used her blessings to provoke Hannah. The Lord had closed her womb, the scripture says, but Peninnah used that fact to make Hannah's life miserable. Imagine enduring this kind of attack every single day, your deepest pain becoming a weapon against you. Can you imagine what's that feel like? Hannah, you know, if I could imagine, must have felt rejected by society, by her own family, you know, even perhaps by God. So on this day, on this one day, Hannah's husband, Elkanah, brought the whole family to the Passover celebration. So there in the temple, he presents his peace offering to the priest. And when it comes time to divide the portion of meat, Elkanah gave shares to Peninnah and each of her children. But to Hannah, the scripture said, he gave a double portion because he loved her even though the Lord has closed her womb. So now, it's you know, it's this description of the scripture. But now I want you to picture this. Hannah sitting at the family table, holding her double portion of meat. Yet there was no one. No one beside her to share the love with. But around her, the room is alive, filled with joy and laughter. Peninnah's children was jumping around, the sound of joy, celebration. Can you imagine her feelings? On the other side of the story, Elkanah, her husband, very nice guy, trying to do something kind for Hannah, probably might have thought that he was cheering Hannah's up by giving her extra. How could it be? How could the extra food can ease the pain in Hannah's heart? How could a double portion of meat of the peace offering can fill the emptiness in her heart? How could it be? While others saw this, a festive, kind of like a family gathering, but Hannah sat there, surrounded by joy, yet completely unable to taste it. You can sense that. Hannah just could not shake off the feelings of loneliness. She wished she had a child to share with the family, share the joy, but no one was beside her. Waiting in pain can just feel like that. We've all been there, or at least most of us, we've all been there. At a graduation party, where friends celebrate the university acceptance, and you feel distant because you didn't even get in. At a family gathering somehow, at a Christmas party, you and your wife put on a brave face, hoping no one noticed the negative emotion that was in you. Waiting in pain can just feel like that. So for Hannah, this Passover trip was not just another ritual anymore, because she has reached her breaking point. So in her deep despair, Hannah went to the temple and just let it all out to God with raw honesty and desperation. Picture this. Hannah entering into the temple and tears streaming down from her face, unable to stop the flood of emotion. She didn't even try to pretend everything is fine. She came just as she was, broken, hurting, exhausted from the waiting, from the silence. So she brought her tears, pain, questions laid down all at his feet. Her prayer, I can imagine the prayer was raw, unfiltered, so intense, and the Bible describes so intense and full of emotion that Eli, the priest, watching her from a distance, thought that she must have been drunk. That kind of desperation. But Hannah wasn't drunk, you know that. She was just desperate before the Lord. Hannah didn't hold back. She knew there was no other person. There was no other power. There's no other place she could, even could turn to. And at that moment, you can feel that. You can sense that Hannah was completely worn out. So instead of giving up, she made up her mind to seek God, trying once again, her very, 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 very best to fully believing that the Lord could and would do great and unsearchable things in her. Maybe, just maybe, as Hannah cried out, she must remember the stories she heard over and over again during the Passover. Stories of the Lord who divided the sea, moved mountains, brought water out of rocks, and made the sun and moon stand still. If the Lord could do all that, surely he could make one faithful, yet barren woman able to bear a child again. And as the story goes on, when Eli finally understand what Hannah's situation and her sincerity, she respond, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition." Let me tell you, what is the most remarkable things in the story? Hannah left her burden right there at the throne of grace. She didn't even know exactly how or when God would answer or do anything, what happened, but she trusted him. Hannah stood up, wiped her tears, walked away with a renewed heart. Her face was no longer sad. She worshiped the Lord and went home, and her faith got renewed. Think about that. Her circumstances remain unchanged, but her heart and her faith got renewed. Hannah chose to trust God and believe that he is faithful even in the silence. Hannah, at that time, surrendered everything to God, and that was the moment of breakthrough. And as the story went on, you can see 1 Samuel 19:20, the Lord remembered Hannah. And in due time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son, Samuel. But the really cool things about this is God's gift to Hannah wasn't just about a baby. her son Samuel, at the end of the day, would grow up to become one of Israel's greatest prophets, a man who would anoint kings and lead God's people back to him. And through Samuel, God's plans for Israel and ultimately for all nations and all human mankind began to unfold. Hannah could not see the full pictures in the middle of her pain. But her waiting, her tears, and her faith were all part of a much bigger story. And that is God's story of redemption for his people. So what did you learn? What do you learn from Hannah's story? I want to make sure that you take something home. Our tears are not waste. Psalm 56 reminds us that God collects our tears in a bottle, and every tear Hannah cried was seen and valued by God. None of our tears will go unnoticed. Also, you don't need to clean ourselves up to see Kim. Hannah didn't try to clean herself up or put up a brave face before God. She brought her raw, unfiltered emotion to him, and the Lord met him there. Met her there. We don't need to pretend that everything is fine when we came before God. We can always bring tears, pain, questions, and lay them all down at his feet. Remember, God is always big enough to handle it all. Surrender leads to breakthrough. I want you to remember this, very important. Hannah's turning point never and was not about when she had a child. That's not Hannah's turning point. Her breakthrough was the moment when she surrendered everything to God, and that is the moment of breakthrough. And that is a turning point for the whole story. Her faith and trust allow God to work through her allowed to work through her in ways she would not never imagine. And last but not least, God's plans are always bigger than ours. Hannah wanted a child, but the Lord wants to raise up a prophet. Her waiting wasn't just about her own personal story. It was about God's greatest plan for his people. Hannah's stories remind all of us that even when life feels random or unfair, God is still at work, and the Lord will take the disappointments, the delays, or even the pain and blend them into something beautiful for his own glory and for our own good. So what about you? Are you in a season of waiting? Are you longing for an answer somehow, some ways? A healing maybe? A breakthrough? Or just some kind of signs that God is moving you in your situations? Is it something that was happening to you? And yet, is it nothing seems to be happening or nothing seems to be changing? Have you ever cried out to him, to the Lord in desperation, wondering why? Does God see me? Does God hear me? I know, maybe the problem is all you fear is silence. Silence. So what do you respond in your waiting? I just want to give you a couple of practical steps that you can actually learn and take home. Pour out your hearts to God. Like Hannah, bring your raw and unfiltered self to him. You don't have to pretend everything is fine. God wants the real you with all your questions and pain. Write them down in a journal if that's helpful. Also, you look for God's hands even in the small things. While you're waiting for the big answer from God, don't miss the small ways He show up. Maybe it's an encouragement from a friend or a moment of peace that feel unexplainable, or scriptures that speak directly to your heart. Those little moments are God's way of reminding you that He is near, so hold on to it and let them be your anchor while in the midst of waiting. Remember, maybe God is shaping you and your heart and preparing your story for something greater. When I read the story of Hannah, once again, many times again, it doesn't feel like a distant biblical account for me. For Joyce and I really feels personal, like we have lived a version of ourselves. Years ago, we began a journey we never expected would stretch so long. We want to start a family, so we want to have a child. So like many others, we thought it will happen when it happens, but it didn't. So months after months turned into year after years, and with each passing cycle, just brought a fresh wave of disappointment of not getting pregnant. So in this one day, after we feel like eternity, the pregnancy test came back positive. So I can't even put into words the mixed emotions we have. You know, that was joy, you know, relief, hope, finally, you know, kind of like, and fear also, if I'm honest. We have been there before on the edge of hope, but only slip away. We believe it's very promising. So for a moment, we allow ourselves to believe this could be it. This could really be it. But then Joy starts feeling uneasy, not feeling well. And she had spotting. If you have been there, you know that's not a good sign. Then we got a call from the nurse asking us to come in to see the doctor right away. You know, it's a bad sign. And the doctor confirmed our worst fear, miscarriage. I really can't fully express the weight at that moment. We were, for sure, devastated, discouraged, angry. We have been waiting for so many years, praying for so long. Just when we thought it was finally happening, things falling apart again. I remember sitting in the car after that appointment. The silence between us was almost unbearable. I look at Joyce, holding back her tears, and I felt completely helpless. How do you comfort someone when your own heart feels like it's breaking? How do you even approach God when your mind is full of questions? You know, over the course of more than 10 years, think about that, more than 120 months of trying hard, failed, waiting, praying, hoping, and hearing nothing, but no, not yet. It's heartbreaking. Is it too much to ask? Yes. It's too much to ask to have a family of our own? Why? Where are you, God? And you know what? Not even funny. Life keeps moving around us as well. And some, you know, our friends have kids. Some of them even complain about how hard it was having two or three kids. While we sat there trying to put up a brave face and smile, we really felt left behind, I'm telling you. Waiting in pain is sometimes just feel like that. Sitting in a room full of laughter and joy where your own hearts feel distant and heavy. Let me tell you, that kind of waiting does something to you. It tests your faith. It tests your endurance, and it tests your understanding of who God really is. But at least something that I discovered during the time of silence, God is faithful, even when we don't see it. There were days it felt like a prayer was bouncing right off the ceilings, but we hold on to His word. Hold on to His word. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. Okay, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. Yes, okay, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. Did we understand how our pain could lead to good? No, not even close. But we trust that God was still in control, even when it didn't feel like it. Also, His promise sustained us, even when our circumstances overwhelm us. Story like Hannah became lifelines for us. Her testimonies remind us, story reminds us that God sometimes don't make sense in the moment, but His timing is always perfect. We get the strength from remembering how God has been faithful in the past, not just in the scripture, but in our own lives and all many others' lives. Those moments of faithfulness became our anchor in the storm. And most of you know now, by now, what happened next. After years of waiting and heartbreaking, God bless us with our daughter, Hannah. So looking back, I can see clearly now that God was at work the entire time. The entire time. We came to realize that waiting wasn't just about patience. It was about preparation and to lean fully on God's characters and trust Him that His plan, even when they look nothing but like us, are always better. So if you are here today feeling like God is silent or far away, let me encourage you. You don't need to hide your tears. Bring them to Him. Tears in God's hands are never waste. He sees your pain. He sees, He hears your prayers. And He is writing a story far greater than you can imagine. Church, what if we as a church become a community when no one was alone in their waiting? Or no one cries alone in their pain. And what if we all were the living testimonies, standing together in faith, reminding one another that God sees, God hears, and God provides, even in the silence. Let's be that kind of church at Koinonia, a place where we don't need to clean ourselves up or pretend everything is fine. A place where for every brokenhearted, where we can bring our tears, our pain, our questions to God and to one another. And we are looking forward to that one day, we'll stand before our Savior, shoulder to shoulder, with every generation singing, "Forever He shall reign, so let it be today." And that's the hope. But until that day, let's keep trusting. Let's keep walking together. Let's keep living our voice in faith, declaring that God is Jireh, our provider, and He will provide, and He cares. Let's stand and pray. Dear Father, we come before You with open hearts, bringing our tears, our pain, and our questions to You. Thank You for reminding us through Hannah's stories that You see us,
You hear us, and you are always working, even in the silence. May we live as you, your people, holding on to the promise that one day we will stand before you with every generation saying, "Holy is the Lord," until that glorious day. Give us strength to keep trusting, keep walking, and keep living our voice in faith. Yes, you are Jireh, our provider, and in you we have all we need. In Jesus' glorious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.